In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Please be seated. We prayed in our collect today at the beginning of the service, "Purify our conscience, Almighty God, by your daily visitation, that your Son, Jesus Christ, at his coming may find in us a mansion prepared for himself." I love that. A mansion prepared for himself. What does it mean to prepare a dwelling place for God on this earth? That question runs through all of our scripture readings for this fourth Sunday of Advent, right on the cusp of Christmas Day. As we hear in our reading from 2 Samuel this morning, David wanted to build a dwelling place for God. He wanted to build a magnificent building, a temple for God, something that would reflect David's power and prestige as king. That kind of thinking was really common among Middle Eastern kings in David's time and among kings in our time, too. First, you consolidated your territories, and then you subdued your enemies, and then you built yourself an enormous palace and a temple to your God to impress on everyone else just how important and powerful you were and how divine authority was on your side. So when David gets settled in his house and has defeated most of his enemies, the next thing he wants to do is to build a temple in which God can dwell and be close by. David thought God's temple would be a sign for how much God favored him. But God had different ideas about how to take up residence in the world. In our reading today, we learn that God sent the prophet Nathan. When he learned about David's plans, he sent Nathan to tell David that God neither needed nor wanted a grand temple. David had planned to build, but God intended always to be free and to move about among peoples and places. He didn't want to be pinned down and be made into a spectacle of David's power. So instead of dwelling in a house made by hands, Nathan tells David that where God really wants to dwell is in the house of David, in the lineage of Davidic kings who would lead God's people and shepherd them in righteousness and justice, who would be God's instrument for bringing peace and wholeness and well-being to the earth. So in other words, the dwelling place or the house or mansion that God wants to inhabit is in David's heart and the hearts of all those who would come after David. For David, preparing a dwelling place for God meant relinquishing his own self-importance and embracing the covenant, the responsibilities that God chose him for. And in the New Testament reading, in the Gospel, of course, this idea of preparing a dwelling place for God is also at the heart of the reading for today, Luke's account of the Annunciation to Mary. The angel Gabriel comes to a young girl in the middle of nowhere in Galilee. You can't get more opposite in her person to that of King David, to tell her that she will conceive and bear the heir to David's throne. She will be the one who brings this into being, the one who will save her people. She will bear the one, she will open the way to the kingdom of never-ending justice and peace, to the one who will be God's son, God's dwelling place in the world. Amazed and perplexed by this incredible news, Mary wants to know, how can this be? And the angel answers that she will be overshadowed by the Holy Spirit, and she herself, her very body, will become a dwelling place for the divine presence. Not just what she does or how she fulfills the covenant, but her very self. She will be the mansion where the Holy Child will grow and form and be prepared to come into the world. And Mary simply answers, "Here am I, the servant of the Lord. Let it be with me according to your word." For her, preparing a dwelling place for God meant becoming willing to place her reputation and even her life. Women who became pregnant outside of marriage could be stoned to death. So she placed even her life in the hands of this unknown future, a mystery of invitation that came from God. Her availability to God is what makes her such a powerful figure in the history of our faith, the one that our Orthodox brothers and sisters call the Theotokos, the God-bearer. And so her character and how she responds to God are a model for us of how we can bear God into the world. David is told to prepare a dwelling place by accepting the covenant, by accepting responsibilities and a pattern of behavior. Mary is called to offer her very life and body to be a dwelling place, so she might bear God into the world through herself. Our collect for the day suggests that a dwelling place for God can be prepared in each of us, too, as God purifies our conscience. But that's how that happens. Conscience is a word that means more than we usually think it does. It's more than that little voice in our head that tells us when we've done something wrong. The word conscience comes from roots that literally mean knowing with. So conscience, in its root sense, means a kind of knowledge that's more than understanding objective data. It's more than an intellectual assent that God exists or that God is doing something in the world. Being purified in our conscience means that we have come to share in the truth of a thing, that we're knowing something so well that it becomes a part of us and we become a part of it. For God to purify our conscience means that God clears away all the things that get in the way of our knowing God so deeply and so inwardly and so well that God becomes a part of us and we become a part of God. For God to purify our conscience means that God prepares in us the knowledge of Christ, a mansion in our deepest hearts where the life of Christ can be formed. And that happens, the prayer also tells us, it's very instructive, that little prayer, that it happens by God's daily visitation. It's not something that we accomplish on our own before God will decide to come to us. We don't have to get everything in order and get it all right before God will come and be a part of our lives. It's something that God accomplishes with us precisely by coming to us when we give him an opening, by coming to us and finding us paying attention, waiting, open to the unknown future. The daily time that we spend meeting God in prayer or meditation or contemplation is the way that God forms us. That inward knowing and creates that mansion where Christ can live. So 2,000 years after the physical incarnation of Christ, we recognize that the challenge of welcoming God into the world is not a matter of construction. It's not about building a cathedral grand enough to house him. The harder work lies in cultivating an attitude and a practice of offering our lives and bodies to him as a perpetual dwelling place. The more I think about the choice of mansion in our collect for today, the more moved I am by it. We could pray that we make room for Jesus, that we just move over a little bit and give him a little room. Or we could pray that we simply welcome him. But mansions are huge. Their spaciousness is sort of the point. How do we make space amidst our desires and habits for something that will change us from a people who are preoccupied with our own security and comfort into agents of God's purpose of justice and peace and compassion in this world? That's the invitation of Advent, to make space for God to build in us a mansion for his being in the world. Christmas is just a few days away. And for a lot of us, that means things are going to get even busier in the next few days. There will be visits and family and travel and parties before Christmas and parties after Christmas and big dinners and shopping and presents. And before you know it, it will be Christmas Eve, and it will be easy to lose sight of the meaning at the heart of it all. So I invite you in this next week to open yourself, to give yourself to moments of prayer, to just be available. And God will purify our conscience, clarify our knowing. It will deepen our sharing in what Christ is doing in the world around us and through us, so that even in this very hectic, busy time of year, we can be made even more and more into the embodiment of Christ's hands, into his feet to go where only Christ will go, into his mouth to speak words of hope and encouragement, and to his heart to love people who the world calls unlovable. It was to embody all these things that Jesus was knit together in the womb of his mother Mary and born in Bethlehem. And it's to embody all those same things that Jesus seeks to find in us a mansion prepared for himself. Amen.